Romans chapter 16, beginning at verse 25. Now to the one being able, the word power is the word ability. Now to the one being able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Secondly, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for times eternal, but now has been made manifest, and through scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, having been made known to all the nations or the Gentiles, for obedience of faith. We'll stop there and continue on with verse 25 in our study. We're studying the doxology, the sign-off by Paul. It is interesting that Paul signs off his letters. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13 tells us that Paul, in all of his letters, he took the pen from the amanuensis, from the man taking the dictation, and in large letters he would sign off as a personal note. Not only would it authenticate the letter, but would add his personal greetings to them. So in signing off, and remember, all of the book of Romans is the doctrine of the Christian faith. Every doctrine of the Christian faith we've studied in the book of Romans. But now that he's signing off, we also have another doctrine. We just finished interaction, the doctrine of fellowship. In verses 25 to 27, it is entitled Implication, the Doctrine of God, the Doctrine of the Deity of God. In verse 25, he says, all of this that I've shared with you in Romans about what God has done for you. He has justified you. He has sanctified you. He has secured you by his Spirit. This is the one, now to the one being able to establish you. And that was our main point last week. God is the only one who has the ability to establish us in Christ. And by establish, it means to put us on firm footing, solid ground, so that we are not like the ones in Ephesians chapter 4 that Paul called babes in Christ, who are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men. But he says that we ought to be maturing, that we're becoming adults in the human, that we are to become adults and mature spiritually. And so, the Lord is the one who establishes us. That's why we go through the difficulties that we go through in our daily life. We're being loosened from the physical world around us and all of our dependence on it and the human resources that we live off of, in order to be dependent upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ, who never changes. We're affected by the ever-changing world, especially when we're looking to certain people or certain things or to certain events or circumstances for our happiness. People will fail us. Circumstances will change. Our human resources, we might have it today, but it'll be gone tomorrow. The physical life is ever changing. But Jesus Christ remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. So once I receive Jesus Christ, I become a new creation in Christ. His life, His Spirit is now born in me, and His Spirit dwells in my spirit. But I'm so used to living according to the human senses that from the first day that He comes into my life, He begins to lead me down a new road and to teach me a new way to live. And that way to live is faith. Faith is the opposite of the human. What I see, what I hear, what I feel is not reality spiritually. And so I have to trust the Lord, and I have to trust the truth of His Word by faith, in spite of how I feel, in spite of my circumstances, in spite of everything else. So He is continually establishing me in the things of Christ. He is continually changing me over. I never stop being a human being. My human senses never stop working, but how I live my life and the basis for which I live my life, the basis for which I evaluate life, and the basis for which I live my life is different. It's by faith. We read this morning in Romans 8 how that hope that is seen is not hope. If we're pinning all of our hope on things and people in this earthly life, that's not much hope. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, but God has given us a birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My faith is not a hope in the sense of a wish. The Greek word elpizo for hope means to expect it. It is an expectancy. I expect to see Christ. I expect to be with Him when this life is over. That is a living hope. It's waiting for me. But in the meantime, while I'm waiting for the release of this body and the release for me from creation, so that when my spirit leaves my body and goes and stands in the presence of Christ, until then, Jesus Christ is with me. Basically, I don't need to leave. He's all sufficient. He keeps me and provides for me in every situation. Nothing is too hard for Him. Might be for me. But nothing is too hard for Him. So whatever He allows in my life, whatever situations, whatever afflictions, whatever hardships, He is sufficient to keep me through them. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 expressed this, that when he had a thorn in the flesh, he had a health problem. So he comes to the Lord three times, praying for the Lord to deliver him. And God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So the weaker you are, Paul, the more you look to me, and my strength keeps you. And you experience my strength rather than your own human resources. So Paul's prayer changed. He says, well, if that's the case, then we have a little saying that you don't want to say unless you mean it. Paul basically says, well, bring it on. You know how many times I've said that, and I cringe every time I hear somebody else say, well, if difficulties bring me closer to Christ and mature me in the Lord, then bring them on. It's the same person that calls me the next afternoon. What did I say? You know, of the hardships. Believe it or not, when it feels like we're just being tossed around and life is just kicking us around and everything seems so unstable, it is God establishing us. In the person of Christ, he's not unstable. He's not being blown around like the wind. So the Lord has to do two things. Not only teach me how to live by faith, but how to let go of my dependency on the human. So I've got two things going at the same time. That takes years. That might not be good news to you, but that's why we're still here. If you've received Christ, then why not just the Lord take you to heaven? Why leave us here to groan through the afflictions of a fallen world? Because it's a process. It's a process of teaching us to live by faith rather than by sight. By faith rather than the human senses. And this establishment comes on the basis of two things that Paul mentions. We'll take one of them this morning. Now let me warn you, caution you, alert you, that our study this morning and next week are very important pieces of information that we need to study for the day in which we live. You and I, some of us, have talked about it for months, if not years. All the things that are going on in church, body of Christ, religion, the world. And there's a basic problem that no one ever addresses that Paul's going to tell us right here in this text. First of all, Paul says, God, who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The term according to goes with both things. According to my gospel, Paul says, and the preaching or proclamation of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting that Paul would say, my gospel. Three times in the New Testament, he uses the phrase, my gospel. In Romans, back in Romans chapter 2, verse 16, one of the four things that everyone will be judged for before God, Paul says, one of those four things is according to my gospel, Paul says. That's a pretty serious statement to make. Again, in 2 Timothy 2:8, he mentions it again that to Timothy, you know, this is my gospel. Now, what does he mean by my? I thought it was the Lord's gospel. Well, again, using from a Greek standpoint, the personal pronoun that shows possession, not source. This is the gospel that was given to Paul. You remember in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul said that after his conversion, he spent 3 years in the Arabian desert with the Lord, receiving from the Lord the gospel that he preaches. So it was the gospel given to him by the Lord. And he was the steward of that gospel. Therefore, Paul says, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if anybody preaches any other gospel than that which I have preached, let him be accursed. That's pretty serious. The first five books of the New Testament is the historical section of the New Testament. And then beginning with the book of Romans and going all the way through the book of Philemon are all of Paul's letters at the beginning of the teaching section of the New Testament. They're all together. It's not chronological. Then the rest of it, Hebrews through Revelation, is the Jewish literature section. Everything must be understood in that section based on the Jews and Hebraisms, especially the Old Testament. So Paul's put right up there in front. If the gospel that you're hearing does not line up with Paul's gospel, if it is not the same gospel, Paul says, let them be accursed. Well, what if I'm using the same Bible? What if I'm using Paul's letters? What if I'm using his letters as my teaching? Just because I'm not teaching the same thing that he taught, does that include me? And the answer is yes. That's something that's not taken serious today. There are two questions that we're going to ask ourselves. One question this week, and one question next week. I don't want to weigh you down with two questions in 1 week. Just 1 week, one a week. When I listen to somebody in church, on the radio, CDs, television, whatever, when I listen to them, the question is, do they preach the same gospel that Paul preached? Or, more pointedly, is that what Paul preached? Is that what he taught? Some of the newfangled teachings coming out, you won't even find them in the Bible. It fits right in that category. And some people think, well, that's too narrow-minded. No, that's how we know what is the truth and what is from God and what is not the truth and comes from Satan's deceptive lies. A teacher teaches information that's already there. He doesn't teach new things from out in left field and saying, well, last night I was out walking at Blockman School and I got this revelation. You don't know who it's from. You believe it's from the Lord or whatever. It's not what Paul taught. This revelation you have is not, doesn't line up with what Paul taught. In fact, most of the time, false teaching goes against, it's just the opposite of what Paul taught. But we let it slide. We don't want to be that narrow-minded. So I guess that makes Paul pretty narrow-minded and self-centered. If they don't preach my gospel, it's not from God. Wow. But see, that's a safeguard for us. Someone will say, well, that's too limiting. Exactly. That we're the ones that need to be limited. We come up with all kinds of strange stuff that's supposed to be spiritual. But it's strange and weird. And sometimes even from the occult. So may God establish you. And this is, taking a step backward, this is another reason why a Christian can spend their whole time, their whole life in church and never get established in the things of Christ. Because it's not based on Paul's gospel. God establishes people according to my gospel, Paul said. Verse 10. But notice the second thing under according to, not only my gospel, but according to the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's a no-brainer. Or is it? The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the message. So simple. Yet so narrow-minded. Hey, I got a lot to say. I was reading from someone the other day. They talked about the scripture. This is unrelated to our here, but it's just, there's just a story that is related in this. About the continued controversy of women teaching and preaching in the church. And he was talking about that women should remain silent in the church, or they should ask their husbands at home if they have any questions. So this man gets off on a scientific, medical, human thing of how women talk more than men. And he says in one of his experiments, he told this one woman, stop talking. You're talking way too much. She says, well, if I can't talk, how do I know what I'm thinking? That was pretty good. The preaching and the message is Jesus Christ. That's it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was telling them, these false teachers have come in with eloquent speech and all these systems of philosophy and these systems of thought for you to practice to make your life better for yourself. Paul is saying, I'm no dummy. You know, I've got all that stuff in my head too. But I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He is the message. He is the preaching. We preach about him. Now, admittedly, that when many people get up to preach about or teach about Jesus Christ, nobody gets anything out of it. So when younger people in ministry ask me what I thought of the message, you never want to do that, because I'll give you an honest answer. Many times I have to say in very gentle words, you don't belong in the pulpit. The Spirit of God just isn't there. He's not ministering to people's hearts and revealing Christ to them. And this is what happens, is they realize that when they preach Christ or they teach from the Word, nobody gets ministered to, so they go out and try to find a teaching system that works. Because God is not working. See what I'm saying? Either God's Spirit is inspiring someone to share about the Word of God or Jesus Christ, or God isn't. So I tell him, sit down. Oh, but I just have such a desire to preach. Yeah, but God's not in it. Sit down. It's okay. You know? And then to get you ready for next week, look what else he says. This is the second according to. According to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept silent or secret from times eternal. So God establishes us not only according to the gospel that the Lord gave to Paul and according to the message of Jesus Christ, but it is according to the revelation of the mystery that's been hidden in times past, but now is revealed. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm going to spin off and get into you cannot understand the truth until you have personal revelation and I'm the only one that has it. One of those presentations. No, it's available to everyone. Let me introduce next week's message to you by saying that is the problem today. God has not revealed the mystery which has been hidden in ages past. God has not revealed that mystery to people today. We have the Bible. And the mystery is right there in the Bible. But people don't see it. They don't understand it. Because God hasn't revealed it to them. Why? I don't know. There are millions of people that have Bibles that just don't have a clue. And when they hear it, they don't have a clue. There are more people in ministry today that don't understand the Bible. They have their own genius little system that they have of practicing and principles that they share with people that they got out of the Bible. But it's not what the Bible was teaching. So I want to prepare you for next time because that's what we're going to delve into. God establishes his people according to the mystery of Christ, which has been hidden in ages past, but is now revealed. It's in the Bible. It's what the Bible teaches. But people just don't understand. They don't get it. Something hit me right between the eyes this week. I'm going to read this to you in close. Dr. Ray Stedman, some of you have heard of him. He's with the Lord now, but he had a very extensive ministry for 40 years at his church down in Los Angeles. And he brought up this point that the problem today is that people have Bibles and pastors have Bibles, but they don't understand what the Bible is saying. They don't understand the mystery of Christ that Paul is revealing through his teachings. They read it, but they don't know what it means. The very first point of the mystery of Christ is that Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's what Paul said in Galatians. That's the mystery. And you say, nothing mystery about that. How many people have you ever heard say, you're saved if Christ is in you? Well, I believe, well, that's part of it, but that's not what saves you. It's Christ in you. That's the mystery that people don't understand. Still today, they don't understand. I've been in ministry for over 40 years, and most of that time, I didn't get it. Hundreds of people saved in evangelistic meetings, and I didn't understand those poor people. You know, I didn't get it. Dr. Stedman says, if you don't understand that if you have Christ living in you, God has cut off all of our natural abilities and strengths and rendered them spiritually useless, so that we would rely totally on the ability and strength of Christ. Whew. Listen to this. We are to live as though Jesus is living our life for us. I just went, yeah, that's right. Jesus said, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Okay, Jesus, I'll come and I'll do the best I can for your glory. You don't get it. Our best works are as filthy rags in his sight. There's no good thing, Paul says, in my human, in my flesh. Jesus told Nicodemus, flesh produces flesh. The Spirit of God is the only one that produces the things of God. We don't produce it. We're not spiritual. But yet, we still walk around. In the human, I'm going to do the best I can for God's glory. Praise Jesus, I'm so great. Praise the Lord, I did so good today as a human being, so I'll give him all the glory. That is a lie. People don't understand the mysteries of Christ that have been revealed. They just don't get it because God hasn't revealed it. But it's right there in the book. But he hasn't revealed it. We're going to get into it next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do look to you as the one who is and has the ability to establish us in Christ. We have no ability of our own. That it is according to the truth of apostolic teaching in the Scriptures, not just any version or opinion or interpretation of what the Bible says, but the very teachings of the apostles themselves, especially the Apostle Paul. Through them we are established. And through the message of Jesus Christ. He is the message. The more we learn of him, and that's what he has said, learn from me. And the more we learn of him and from him, the more we are established in the things of Christ. But also we confess our awareness that we need your Spirit to reveal to us the things of Scripture. Every church, over 200 of them in Santa Maria, every church has a Bible. And every church believes a different approach to the Bible than all the other churches. Why is there so much difference? It's because in our day, in these last days, in the days of apostasy, God has removed his Spirit from revealing the mysteries of Christ, which are right in front of us. But we can't see it without your Spirit. Lord, we pray that you'd help us be aware of how important it is to walk in your truth and to receive from your Spirit that we might be established in the things of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.